Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soci.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, friends, we got through another week. Later on in the show, we will grab a pencil and find out what you've been watching, films that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. And film fans, first off, thanks to everybody who contributed during the pledge drive. We appreciate that. And, of course, it's never too late or too early to support Film Sociology and WFYI. You can go to WFYI.org/give to show your support to all the local programs here at WFYI. And friends, this week, it's all in the timing. With all of the talk, of course, about Roe versus Wade, opening this week in select theaters from IFC International is the French film Happening. And I'm going to say in advance, pardon my French. And this is an adaptation of a famous novel where a woman, a student, gets pregnant in France in the 1960s. And, of course, back then, abortion was really illegal, capital R, capital I. And we go to 1963. She is a student who's working her way through university, wants to do more than just be a housewife, a girlfriend. She wants to create her own path, hanging out with her friends, doing what young students do, and winds up pregnant. And goes to a doctor, and doctor will not assist her in such things, will not discuss the item. And we go through several weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 weeks, with a climax happening on July 5th. And there have, again, I think it's all in the timing on this. Your lead actress in, pardon my French, is Anna Maria Valtremeyer. And a really rooted performance doesn't, and the story doesn't go over the top. Treats the material with care. It's directed by Audrey Diwan. This is her second film, and so the combination of how things are going well in her early studies at the beginning of the film. And then grades and social status, I say her social circle, and life in general kind of comes to a grinding halt because this is on her mind and she doesn't want to tell a whole lot of people because it's considered a crime. And then finally, about halfway mark through the film, I'm going to word this carefully, she tries to take care of it herself. And while from a camera standpoint you don't see anything, It's like the ear scene in Reservoir Dogs. You don't need to see it. What's happening in your head is brutal enough. And we get a camera that stays on her face while she's trying to take care of it herself. And then later telling the doctor that you left me no choice. And then we find out from the doctor, who understands why she did what she did, but it didn't work. So we keep going. I don't want to give away the ending, and I know this was a very famous and controversial book that was published in France, but the further it goes, and then when we finally get to a moment where you got to run to the toilet, and it's really, really hard to watch. It's really well done, but it's also really hard to watch. So if you need to if you need to throw some more fuel on the fire about Roe versus Wade, check out the film Happening from France, courtesy of IFC Films. It's when you have a film like this and it's old married white guy, it's a really well done, hard to watch at times. And the ending is left open. There's no relief. There's some relief and there's some heartache, and it's somewhere in between there. So look for Happening opening this weekend, courtesy of IFC Films. Staying in France is a film that I got to see it back in December, and I'm glad it's finally coming out in theaters here. It's over at the Can-Can in Indy, but it's the fantasy drama Petite Maman, and this is from Celine Sciamma, whose last film, of course, was Portrait of a Woman on Fire. Portrait of a Lady on Fire, sorry. And it is the story of a little girl coping with the death of her grandmother by bonding with her mother. And it on paper, it looks like a Studio Ghibli story of little girl going to old country house and connecting with a new friend, 8-year-old Nelly. And some of the camera dynamics that was used in Portrait is used here. It's a really nice child performance by Josephine Sans. You also have Gabriel Sans, yes, twins, playing Marion. But it's a really brief and that wonderful area where a child's fantasy and the reality, it's another great example of gray area with friendships and your past. And so look for Petite Maman. I'm glad it's probably not going to get the bigger, it's not going to get as much of a maybe push as Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but it's still a nice little lovely film. It's one you can show to kids too, and they can read subtitles. So yeah, look for Petite Maman, which is at the Can-Can among other places. And then we shift gears with a film called The Duke, a British drama based on the story of Kempton Button, played by Jim Broadbent, a cab driver, a man who takes other jobs. But his real dream is to be a playwright, to write about plays of social injustice. One of his goals, we find out early on, is to have television for free. For you fans of American television, you had to have a television's license in the 60s. He tries to slide around that by taking out the mechanics on the television where he can get the BBC. He has just independent television. Helen Mirren plays his long-suffering wife, and Mirren and Broadbent have some really nice chemistry together. I can't recall. I'm sure they have worked together, and it kind of shows here. She does more than just do some hand-wringing because it's Helen Mirren. And as time goes on and he's trying to right the wrongs for the working man, Broadbent's character winds up stealing a portrait of the Duke of Wellington, which I believe at the time was worth £140,000. His idea was to steal the painting and then hold it for ransom, but the money goes to charity. The money would go to the old and the handicapped for those who couldn't afford television licenses. That was his deal. So big ideas from a man who's a lot of talk and maybe a bit of a nuisance, and for one brief moment becomes almost a major nuisance. It's directed by Roger Mitchell, who's given us films like Notting Hill, among others. And it's got that warm, cozy, independent British film feel to it. I always like watching Jim Broadbent and Helen Mirren in this. He does wind up becoming a bit of a celebrity when his case goes to trial. Matthew Good plays his barrister. And you get, as the film goes on, we find out more about their sons. They have two sons, and there's a dead daughter, which first Helen Mirren's character does not want to open up about it, but you kind of know the predictable senses near the end of the film. You know she is going to open up. You know you sort of have an idea of how the court case is going to wind up. But comfortable performances from Broadbent and Mirren make this a fun watch. And so anyway, that's The Duke. That is out on Sony Classics. And it's an opportunity for me to tell my Jim Broadbent story. Yes, Uncle Matt has a Jim Broadbent story. I'm in college at the Ball State University, and the Academy Award nominations had come out. This was the year that The Crying Game was up for a bunch of awards. You know, Best Picture, sure. Stephen Ray, I remember Stephen Ray. And Jay Davison for Best Supporting Actor. It was Jay Davison. And I had not seen the film, plus I did not know the secret of The Crying Game. And spoiler alert on a 30-year-old film, almost 30-year-old film if you don't. So I saw it at a little theater, a little two-screener in Muncie near campus. And there were some, I don't know if they were students, I don't know if they were locals, but there were some, there were about three guys behind me that were a little on the obnoxious side. And we're getting to the introduction of the Jay Davison character, and they're in a pub, she's in a pub, and Stephen Ray is there, and they start talking between bartender, man, woman, and bartender. And me knowing the nominations, I'm watching the scene, and I thought, they nominated the bartender? I mean, Jim Broadbent was a that guy. I had seen him in Time Bandits and Brazil and a few other smaller English pictures. And I mean, he's good. I mean, I like him. He's a good guy, but I don't know if this is Best Supporting Actor material. And when Jay Davison's character is on screen, the guys behind me make a few guy-like remarks because they're college-age guys in Muncie in the early 90s. And then the reveal happens, and I didn't say anything, but I did turn around as they were exclaiming with shock and horror and disgust. So, haha on them. But yeah, Jim Broadbent did not get nominated for The Crying Game, but he did win for Iris. So anyway, very cool. But yeah, that moment was amusing, watching The Crying Game in the theater. So anyway, that's my Jim Broadbent story, and I'm sticking with it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. As I mentioned earlier, the Can-Can has Petite Maman, The Year of the Everlasting Storm, The Northman is still there, as well as Everything Everywhere All at Once. Coming soon, you have Fly, not The Fly, Memoria, which if you get to see this in the theater, fascinating use of sound. It is a hypnotic experience with Tilda Swinton. Vortex is coming soon. Attics, the school that opened a city. The Glories of Our Journey. Men and Best in Show is part of the outdoor series, Best in Show. So all that is coming soon to the Can-Can Indie. Over at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, May 6th and 7th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Last of the Mohicans. Yes, the Michael Mann film with Daniel Day-Lewis and his great hair. And just to give you a little insight, Theater on the Fort, Movies at the Fort, Arts for Lawrence, they'll be showing Last of the Mohicans in August because I'm curating that. So anyway, when it gets a little closer, I'll let you know. May 13th and 14th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which I also saw in college when that opened. May 19th as a part of the Swartz Senior Series, but also Friday and Saturday, May 20th and 21st, 2 and 7:30 p.m., this is going to be cool, a 35mm print of the original 1957 Western drama 310 to Yuma, based on the work written by the great Elmore Leonard, or also known as film sociology guest Elmore Leonard. Very cool. That's Van Helfen and Glenn Ford happening over at the Historic Art Craft Theater. May 27th and 28th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Clue. I have no idea which ending they'll have. And June 3rd and 4th, 2 and 7:30 p.m. at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, Big Trouble in Little China. All that's happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right, friends, grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. We start with Chris. Remember, check out the Film Yap. Always fun. You might see a write-up from me very soon. But Chris writes, Ready Player One, Operation Mincemeat, The Year of the Everlasting Storm, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and The Duke. And I think I'm just going to say Doctor Strange for the rest of the show. Thanks, Chris. Tanglefoot Tony writes, Unstoppable, Detective Pikachu, Stir, Crimes of the Future, Mr. Cinders, The Death of the Incredible Hulk, Wonder Woman 1984, Blue Blood, Dead Creatures, Penetration Angst, My Little Sister, El Gringo, and Hansel and Gretel Warriors of Witchcraft. Thank you, Tanglefoot Tony. We go to Facebook, and Anthony writes, The Batman and Season 10 of American Horror Story. James writes, I binged the original The Prisoner series from the 60s and also watched In My Mind, a documentary about Patrick McGoohan and The Prisoner. Thank you, James. David writes, finished Moon Knight Season 1. Hope to see Doctor Strange this weekend. Elaine writes, Railway Man, The Net, and Gattaca. Erica writes, Designing Woman, Travels with My Aunt. Both are leaving HBO Max this month, and I recommend them. Very cool. Thanks, Chief. Rachel writes, The Batman. Steven writes, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Judy writes, The Big Sick for a second viewing. Nick writes, Eric writes, No films. Eric is a sad boy. Don't be sad, Eric. It happens. You'll watch a film next week, and I'll read it on next week's show. So anyway, hang in there, pal. John writes, The Gentleman. Zachariah writes, He Ran All the Way, Hour of the Wolf, ooh, Cries and Whispers, and Thieves Like Us. Doug writes, Buster Keaton's 100-year-old My Wife's Relations, and three Hitchcocks, A Lodger, To Catch a Thief, and Psycho, plus the final episodes of Ozark. Matt writes, Dr. Strangelove. Side note, I was at a certain bookstore, you know, where they have things, and they half price things, and I found the Criterion Blu-ray of Failsafe. Just a reminder, friends, if you do a double feature of Failsafe and Doctor Strangelove, watch Failsafe first. Don't end with that. So, and by the way, if you go on the Criterion website, 30% off through the month of May. Just saying. Okay, Andra Fay writes, The Gentleman. Aaron writes, Ghostbusters Afterlife. Okay. Monica writes, I finally watched 50 Shades of Grey. It's not great. It's not terrible. But Dakota Johnson's timing is surprisingly excellent. I don't know if she's good in anything else she's done. She is. But she did really well with the script that was given for 50 Shades. Okay. Thank you, Monica. I always like telling the story. The thing that bothered me about, and I remember saying this to John Krull, which made him uncomfortable, which was fun. What really bothered me about 50 Shades was not the suburban mom porn aspect. No, it was not the, it's bad dialogue. But the fact that Dakota Johnson's character willingly steps in for her roommate, to pose as her roommate so she can get the interview for the school paper, that's expelled. That's an expellable offense, especially somebody who has a degree in journalism. So, no, that's where I draw the line. Forget all the sex stuff. That's where I had a problem. And that was before all the sex stuff happened. So it was already a downhill slide after that. But anyway, I'm glad you liked it, Monica. It's not terrible or tourable. David writes, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I just realized some of the bass notes during the communion scene took on a Jaws theme. Well, that's John Williams, and that's a nice little, and it's Spielberg, so it's a nice little nudge to the Jaws theme. Why not? Eric writes, Mitchell Leisen's Pre-Code Burlesque Extravaganza, Murder at the Vanities from 1934. Marion C. Cooper's post-Kong visual effects extravaganza, She, from 1935, plus binging the final of the finale of the always excellent Ozark and the first season of the most excellent Tokyo Vice. Thank you there, friend. Pam writes, Not Without My Daughter. Didn't you watch that already, Pam, watching that film twice in the span of a month? Anyway, that's never happened before, but I just didn't expect it from Not Without My Daughter. Sarah writes, my boyfriend and I went to see Everything Everywhere All at Once last weekend, and it has easily jumped into my top three movies of all time. He's pretty critical of films, and even he said, I have no notes when we were talking about it afterwards. Big jump, Sarah. Congratulations. And yes, I'm glad the boyfriend has no notes. Taylor writes, The Asphalt Jungle, The Batman, Baby Snakes, Tied, Teased, and Transformed. Lou Harry writes, Everything Everywhere, Liked but Didn't Love. John writes, Red Dog. Pat writes, Doctor Strange. Amy writes, Father Stew. and loved Big Sonya, a fantastic film that I have seen before but watched it on my DVR that I taped earlier from WFYI. Thank you, Amy. Kurt writes, Rooster Cogburn for the Bell Trace Group on Saturday. Thank you, Kurt. There are some cases that Rooster Cogburn is a more enjoyable film than True Grit because John Wayne gets to go toe-to-toe acting-wise with Katharine Hepburn and not Kim Darby and Glenn Campbell. Just saying. And yes, I know, the whole rapid scene is a ripoff of The African Queen. It's still fun. Catherine writes The Northman. Robert Muggy writes Round Midnight, which is now out on Criterion. I got to pick up a copy of that. High Sierra, The Survivor, The Batman, Down Argentine Way, Charade, and Imitation of Life again from Douglas Sirk. Thank you, Robert. Jay writes The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. It was good. Just enough action mixed with comedy. Nick Cage has a good sense of humor to kind of make fun of himself like that. Thank you, Jay. Kevin writes Gone Girl. Keith writes Zero Dark Thirty, Megamind, Hostiles, and the original Star Wars. Holly writes Sense and Sensibility. That's a good one there, your Heininess. Terry writes Lloyd Bridges tried to outwit the long arm of the U.S. Treasury Department in Trapped from 1949. Melissa writes I Want You Back, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and two times watched Doctor Strange. Gary writes, Chasing the Devil, Silence. Hey, Patty, Silence. One Under the Sun, The Phantom of Soho, Luca, Tangled, X, Driller Killer, wow, Abel Ferrara. Turning Red, Detour, 2011, The Blob, the original, The Evil Down the Street, Colobos, The Evil Within, Behind the Walls, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Giuseppe Makes a Movie. Thank you, Gary. Teresa writes Hard to Hold for you Rick Springfield fans out there. Britt writes The Bad Guys. Tom writes The Time Travelers, interesting mid-60s American international sci-fi flick. When was the last time you saw John Hoyt star in a movie? Very good. Dee Dee, Drinks with Dee Dee podcast, even if I'm not on it. Island of Dr. Moreau and On the Waterfront, but she didn't say, was it Marlon Brando's Dr. Moreau or Burt Lancaster's Dr. Moreau? Well, I guess the world will never know. Thomas writes, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Craig, I love Craig. Craig brings it. Maybe not in a dozen titles, but just pulling the titles out. Anyway, he writes, The Devil Rides Out, and then put in parentheses, did I already use that one last week? Well, whatever. This week we watched it again with commentary by Christopher Lee and others. And no, Craig last week posted Listomania, which I love Ken Russell films. He was a loon. And so, of course, I mentioned that you should maybe watch The Devils, although The Devil Rides Out is pretty good. And anytime you have a commentary track with Christopher Lee, that's even better. And I suggested The Devils. He said he watched The Devils last year. So I mentioned The Music Lovers. So maybe he'll watch The Music Lovers. We'll just have to see. Cliffhanger on the grab a pencil portion of Film Sociology. Michael writes Grown Ups. And finally, Kayla writes Sweet Home Alabama. Yes, really. And there you are, friends. That's what you've been watching this week. So hopefully you got to watch some good movies that are new, or at least new to you, as well as falling back on old favorites. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. And we'll try this again next week. Thank you for listening. We're going to end this week's Film Sociology with a little musical tribute to Rick Parnell, a rock drummer in his own right. He played drums on the Tony Basil hit Mickey, among other things. But he is best known in the film sociology world as drummer Mick Shrimpton from Spinal Tap. So go listen. Go watch that over the weekend if you get a chance. And get a chance for me to play this. I saw them do this live at Deer Creek, then known as Deer Creek. Here's Spinal Tap and Hell Hole. Here's to you, Mick.
Place to be a man. I ain't got no future. I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!